I want you to open your Bibles up, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In a moment, we're going to begin looking at and reading verse 16. I am teaching from the subject adjusting to the death of a loved one. Adjusting to the death of a loved one. One of the most difficult, if not the most difficult, adjustment you and I will have to make is adjusting to the death of someone that we were close to. It may be a spouse, it may be parents, it may be grandparents, it may be siblings, it may be other relatives that we're close to, it may be a friend that we're close to, a coworker, somebody that we're close to, and they die. The Bible word for dying is depart. So you hear me use that word depart. It is tough. It is challenging. It is difficult adjusting to the death of a loved one because your life, that person made a contribution to you. That person, you're engaged with that person. The person dies and all of a sudden you have to step into life without that person. So you have to kind of learn to live again, live differently. It's almost like learning to live again. And it's extremely challenging. Now, I wanted to deal in the first two lessons with death. The first two lessons with looking at death from a biblical viewpoint. So last week in lesson one, we talked from the subject, died but not dead. Died but not dead. Now, this lesson today, here again, we're dealing with death from a biblical standpoint. We're talking from the subject, moved out of the old house. Moved out of the old house. I'm gonna walk you through a scriptural text, and then after we look at the scriptural text, then we're gonna back up and look at the metaphor of a house moved out of the old house. And I believe that is gonna be a blessing to you. Now, you have to remember that the Bible was not written in chapter and verse, okay? So sometimes one chapter may flow into another chapter. And if we don't realize that, we can lose the point. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul talks about his challenges and the sufferings that he's had to endure. So in verses, we won't read it, but in verses 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12, he talks about his trouble on every side. He talks about being distressed. He talks about being persecuted and cast down. And he talked about how he had to face death as an apostle, as a minister, as a part of his call. Death was very imminent. So he's talking about how God brought him through the situations. Then beginning down at verse 16 through 18, and we're going to read that, he talks about focus. And he talked about having the right focus is how he was able to endure. And then in verses 1 through 8, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8, he talks about death. He gives us a biblical view of death, but the key to enduring our present challenges and the key to dealing with death, the death of our loved ones, is focus. Say focus. Come on, say focus. Come on. It's how we focus that will determine. So let's begin talking about focus for just a minute. Look at what it says in verse 16. It says, for which cause, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, it says, for which cause we faint not, But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So here again, starting off, we have two things in juxtaposition. We have the outward man, which refers to the body, and the inward man talks about his spirit. And notice he's bringing us to the point we have to choose whether or not we're going to focus on our outward situation, or we're going to focus on it from a spiritual situation. Outward, inward. Outward, inward. He says that the physical body is dying, but my spirit is being renewed every day. Look at verse 17. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He's talking about focus, talking about focus. He says, for our light affliction, my goodness, light, stone, being with rods, cast in prison, shipwreck, and he says it was light. So he says that my afflictions were light, and then he's going to talk about death, and he said, I can handle death too. He said that the key to being able to handle my present challenges and sufferings, and the key to handle death is focus. He says my afflictions are light, and just momentarily. Why? Because he's looking at things from a spiritual standpoint. And he knows that this natural life is temporary. It's temporary. It's temporary. So he says, when I look at things from a spiritual standpoint, and I look at the things that cannot be seen, rather than the things that can be seen, he said, my affliction is light. So the critical issue for you, dear and precious people, is when death comes, how are you going to focus? What are you going to focus on? Are you going to focus on the natural, or are you going to focus on the spiritual? And it's going to require some discipline on your part, because your emotions, and we're going to talk about that later, your emotions are going to be all over the place. So it's going to require some discipline for you to stay in the spirit realm. To look not just at what's happening on the exterior in the natural realm, but what does the word says, what's going on spiritually, looking at things from a spiritual perspective. Now, you're never going to walk in peace and joy and comfort if you're looking at things from a natural perspective. And that's why many Christians don't walk in the peace and the joy and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. If you don't focus properly, you're going to go through death just like people that are not saved. You're not going to have any more advantage than people who are not saved. So he says, I have to look not at the things which are seen, but I have to look at the things which are not seen, because the things which are seen are temporal. They're subject to change, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, he talks about focus, helps me through my present sufferings, but my focus also helps me through death. So notice what he says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. He says, for we know that if our earthly house, say house, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So right away we see two things in juxtaposition. We see he says an earthly house, and he says the earthly house is just like a tabernacle, it's like a tent, versus a building that God made for us. So there are two things, and he said this building that God made for us is eternal. So the earthly house that he's talking about our physical body. He says that our physical body is like an earthly house. It's like a tent. And he says that this tent tends to sag, and it tends to get old, and it tends to deteriorate. He said, that's the way the body is. It's temporary. But then he says, one day we're going to receive a house from heaven. Now, here he's referring to that glorified body that every Christian is going to meet. So that this heavenly house that he's talking, this building from heaven, is not talking about your mansions in heaven. It's not talking about heaven at all. It's talking about the glorified body that you're going to receive one day, that one day when Jesus come back for the church. So he says now, there's that natural side of life that's temporary. It's just like a tent. But he says one day we're going to have a building. A building have more permanence. It has more firmness and structure. He says we're going to have a building. So he says when the earthly house dissolves, that means thrown down, deteriorate, die. We're going to have another house. Come on, say another house. Now look at verse 2. He says, for in this we groan. In this house, he says, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. So now he's changing the metaphor. He talked about the body being a house. Now he talks about the body being clothes that we wear. That the clothes that we wear is like our bodies. Our bodies are simply clothes that we wear that fit down over our spirits. So he says that we're desiring, watch this, to be clothed with our house from in heaven. He's still talking about that glorified body. He said, in this body, we're desiring to have that glorified body. Look at what it says in the next verse. It says, if so be that being clothed, we shall be found what? Not found what? Naked. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't get deep. Don't try to get deep. Don't get deep. How do we become naked? We take off our clothes. So what he's talking about here, he's talking about when we take off our clothes physically, we become what? Naked. He said, well, when we take off this body at death, we are in a state of nakedness. In other words, your soul and your spirit is going to go to heaven. We'll talk about that in a moment. But in heaven, you don't need a body. Because in heaven is a spiritual arena. You know, it's a spiritual environment. And your spirit is the real you. Okay? So when you take off the clothes, then you're going to be naked. It's talking about that time after you die, between the time you get your glorified body. Got that? Okay. Now look at what it says in the next verse. It says in verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle that do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So he says, now what we really want is not to be naked. He said, what we want is to be clothed with immortality. Now, what he's really saying there is that going to heaven is not finality. Some people think that's it when they go to heaven. No, when you go to heaven, you're going to be waiting in heaven. You're going to be enjoying heaven, but you're going to live the rest of your life on the earth, a new heaven and a new earth. So the fullness of your redemption, the fullness of redemption is not heaven. So Paul is saying it's not just heaven that we're groaning for, but we want the fullness of our redemption. We want our glorified bodies in that new heaven and new earth. Yeah. Got that? Okay, now look at verse 5. It says, now he that has wrought us, for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Say the earnest of the Spirit. Earnest. How many ever heard of earnest money? Okay, what is earnest money? It's a down payment that you're paying on the house. It's a guarantee that you're going to pay the rest of the money. Right? Earnest money. Well, Paul is saying that God gave us some earnest. In other words, he gave us a down payment to guarantee we'll get the full thing later on. And he said the down payment that God gave us was the Holy Spirit. The very fact that you have the Holy Spirit is a down payment that God is going to finish paying off everything you're supposed to get. Does that make sense to you? Now look at what it says in verse 6. It says, therefore we are always confident knowing, verse 6, that while we are at home in the body, he went from the metaphor of a house to the metaphor of clothing back to the metaphor of the house. So he says, we are confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, come on, say in the body, then we're absent from the Lord. Come on, say, we're at home in the body. Every last one of you listening to me, you're at home right now. You're at home right now. You're at home right now. And the Bible says your home is your body. We're at home in the body. And because we're at home in the body, then we're absent from the Lord. See that? We're at home in the body, so we are what? Now, I'm looking at you, right? But sweetheart, I can't see you. All I can see is your house. And I can tell you at home because you communicating back and forth with me. So she's at home in her body. And she's absent from the Lord because she's at home in her. She's absent from the Lord because she's at home. So we're at home on the earth. But while we're in the earth, we're absent from the Lord, Paul says. Now look at what it says. But we walk by faith, not by sight, and even though we're dealing in this natural realm, we know something else that's deeper than just our physical bodies. We know about heaven, we know about God, even though we've never seen God, never seen heaven, but we're walking by faith. The Word of God says it, so we know that there's a spiritual arena, there's a spiritual world. And then verse 8 is a very familiar verse. It says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. And to be what? So when we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Right? But when we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. Absent from the body is present with. So we're never nowhere. Christians are always somewhere. The Bible speaks of Christians that are in heaven and Christians that are in the earth. The Christians that are in the earth are at home in their bodies. The Christians that are in heaven are absent from their bodies. So the Christians that are in the earth are at home in their body and absent from the Lord. The Christians that are in heaven are absent from their body and present with the Lord. So we're never nowhere. We're either at home or we're absent. Okay? Now, listen carefully. We see the scriptural background. Listen carefully. In our text, Paul is communicating the importance of viewing life and death from a spiritual perspective. When loved ones die, you have a choice now. You can view this from a natural perspective and grieve, or you can view the death from a spiritual perspective and have peace, joy, and comfort. So the Apostle Paul is giving us a biblical definition of death and removing the mystery and the fear of death, because we know to be absent is to be present. So there's no fear of death. To be absent is to be present. To be absent is to be present. To be absent is to be present. So we are not afraid of death. Paul said, I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of dying. Real Christians are not afraid of dying. They know to be absent is to be present. To be absent is to be present. To be absent is to be present. So Paul pushes away the mystery of death and the fear of death. He said, that's why I can go through all these trials I'm going through, because the trials does not kill me. The stoning doesn't kill me. Whatever they do to me, it cannot kill me. To be absent is to be present. Paul says, if you kill me, I'm just in the presence of the Lord. He said, you can kill me. He said, you kill me, it's gain for me. Hey, so this boy is a bad boy right here. So he ain't afraid, because he know to be absent is to be present. To be absent is to be present. That's why you sometimes, when people die, they have a smile on their face. Now listen carefully, listen carefully. Also, Paul is contrasting our present physical body with our future resurrected glorified body. Now listen carefully. A key to receiving the wisdom Paul is sharing is to understand why he uses the metaphor of a house to describe the human body. So he's using a metaphor, and he says the human body is like a house. So in order to understand death, we have to understand something about a house. So let's talk about a house, and then let's talk about the physical body. Now, if you can agree with these statements, all I want you to say, yes, I see it. I agree. Amen. Number one, let's talk about a natural house. What is a house? A house is a structure serving as a dwelling for one or more persons. A house is a residence. It's a place where someone lives. How many agree with that? How many say amen to that? You agree with that? Okay. Secondly, a house is a thing. A house is not a person. Amen. A house is a thing. A house is not a person. A house is a thing. A house is not a person. A house is a thing. A house is not a person. Come on, talk to your neighbor. Say, a house is a thing. Come on, say, a house is a thing. Come on, say, a house is a thing. It's not a person. Come on, say, a house is not a person. Come on, say, a house is not a person. Number three, houses are constructed by men. How many believe that? Number four, some houses are better built, more durable, more comfortable than other houses. That's why we want a good house. Number five, houses can be destroyed, vandalized, or demolished. How many agree with that? So if a house is destroyed by fire, water, or wind, or whatever, you hear about a house caught on fire, what is the first question you ask? What's the first question? Did they get out? That's the question we want to know. House was destroyed by fire. We walk up. First thing we want to know, did they get out alive? Now, once we find out they got out alive, we say, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank God. You say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because they got out alive. Because you know the house is not the person. The house is the thing. You wanted the person to get out. You were more concerned about the person than you was the house. That's why you say, oh, praise the Lord. They got out. They got out. Because we can always get another. Okay. Okay. Number six, eventually a house will age and deteriorate regardless of the house or how well it's built. I don't care how much you pay for it. I don't care how well it's built. You got to keep that house up. Because if you don't keep that house up, it'll deteriorate, won't it? Then number seven, a house can be vacated. For different reasons, people sometimes choose to move. I ask you a question. How many of you ever moved from a house? Wave at me. Wave at me. Wave at me. Question. What did you do after you moved? Don't get deep on me now. You say you're gonna move. So I'm asking you a natural question. What happened when you moved? Huh? Oh, so you just moved to another house. Okay. Well, let me ask you another question. Did you ever go back and visit your old house? Now, I ain't talking about you moved out your mama house and you're going back and seeing your mama. I ain't talking about that. The house was old. You got a new house. Question, did you ever go back and visit your house?
No.
To see how your house was doing. Come on, how many of you went back to see what your house was doing? So you just left, right? Okay. Now let's talk about the body. Let's use those seven things and talk about the body. Same seven things. We looked at it natural. Let's talk about the seven things. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, the very God of peace sanctify you. I pray the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. Every one of us, we're spirits. You are spirit. I'm looking at you, but I can't see you. You are looking out the windows of your body. These things right here, these eyes, they are windows. The real you is on the inside, and the real you is a person. A lot of people don't realize this, but your spirit is not mystical. No, your spirit is a real person. Your spirit has a head. Your spirit has eyes. Your spirit has ears. Jesus said, him that has ears to hear, let him hear. He's not talking about your physical ears. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be opening. He's not talking about your physical eyes. He's talking about the eyes of your spirit. Your spirit has hands. Your spirit has substance. And the world, the spirit world has substance. It's just spiritual substance. In the spirit world, you can touch things. You can sit on things. There's houses in the spirit. There's substance. It's just spiritual substance. That's why you don't need your body in heaven, because your spirit has substance. So number one, the physical body is the dwelling or residence or house that your spirit lives in. Your spirit lives in this body, and your body is the house that your spirit lives in. Number two, the physical body is a thing. The physical body is not a person.
Oh.
Now remember, come on, say, he's on my side. He's on my side. Your physical body is not you. Your physical body is a thing. Your physical body is not a person. Your physical body is a thing. Now that's going to help us. It's going to help us because there are very difficult moments when loved ones die. When you have to go to the funeral parlor, or what we call the funeral home, and you normally take clothes and different things to dress mama, dress daddy. That's a challenging time. I've been doing this for 30-some years. It's a challenging time to go to the funeral home. It's a challenging time, but it would be less challenging if you knew that you're taking clothes not to mama. You're taking clothes to dress mama's house. And then another difficult moment is when we in the procession and we's walking up and we go walk up to the casket. It's a difficult time. Notice how people cry around the casket that viewing time. It's tough on people. Sometimes people look and they cry and they want to look again. They want to cry and they want to look again. Don't close the casket. I want to look one more time. Sometimes people kiss the body. Sometimes they pull on the body. Now that's tough, isn't it? But it would be easier if you realize that's a thing. When you're walking in, you're not looking at mama, you're looking at a thing. You're looking at the house that mama lived in. Then you got to go to the gravesite. And when you go to the gravesite, they're rolling the casket down. And you're looking at the casket. That's tough. It's tough on people because they think mama is going in the ground. They think their daddy is going in the ground. Their brother, their child is going in the ground. But no, that's a thing. Now you can even, sometimes people go back and visit the grave and take flowers to the grave. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's absolutely nothing. It's not a sin. As long as you know that when you go back to visit the grave, you're not going back to visit mama. You're going back to look at the house. And if you're talking to the grave, talking to mama, you're not talking to mama, you're talking to a house. It's no different than walking up to your old house and talking to it. I'm not being insensitive. But I'm trying to help you to view it from a spiritual perspective. Because it's going to be tough if you think that's mama. The real you is a spirit. Paul called him the inward man. The word our earthly house, our is a personal pronoun, refers to the owner of the house. Our earthly house implies that the house is not you. Your house belonged to you, but you are not your house. That's not only going to help us in difficult moments, but to understand that the house is a thing will also help us with certain questions.
Come on, Doc.
Should we do the traditional earth burial? Should we do entombment through a mausoleum? Or should we cremate? A lot of folk have problems with cremation. They say, well, man, nobody gonna burn my mama. You ain't burning my mama up. But see, the decision becomes simple and it's based off what you desire when you understand that you're not burning up mama, you're burning up mama's house. See, so many people, they now listen, it's nothing wrong with doing whatever you want to do with it, but don't add no theology to it. Because whether mama is cremated or whether this person dies at sea or whether this person is burned up in a house fire, God is going to resurrect the body anyway. A lot of people don't realize this, but your spirit comes from God. Isn't that right? So when a person died, would a spirit go back? But your body came from what? From the earth. And that's what burial is. It's restoring your body back to the earth from which it came. The Bible says he formed man from the dust of the ground. So over a period of time now, that body is going to decompose, whether you put it in a casket or a mausoleum, whatever. It is going to disintegrate. It is going to turn back to dust. So if God can resurrect dust, he can resurrect a body that was blown up in war, a body that was lost at sea. See, when you understand that that's not the person, then it simplifies a lot of things for you.
Good teaching, man. Good teaching.
And it also determines whether or not you're going to do an elaborate funeral,
right.
Or whether you're just going to do a nice funeral.
Right.
And it's up to you. No right or wrong way, but so many people are spending a whole lot of money on a house. I want the best casket. I want this. I want that. I want the best for mama. Mama doesn't even see it. No, I'm not saying go ahead and bury mama out in the backyard. I'm not saying put mama in a box. Oh, box. No, I'm saying it could be nice, but remember it's for you. Now, I ain't being sensitive, but mama, dad is not coming to the funeral. Mom, dad didn't show up at the funeral. So many people do things at funerals. Oh, I know mama liked that. No, she didn't. She didn't like any of it. She didn't like any of it. She didn't like the song. She didn't like the scriptures. She didn't like any of it. She didn't like your speech. And so folk get all bent out of shape. They fall out with each other. I didn't sing. Mama wanted me to sing. I didn't read the scripture. Nobody asked me to read the scripture. And family members fall out with each other. They don't even speak to each other. And mama didn't even come to the funeral. You say she didn't know. The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Mama was absent. You said, well, did she look down and see what was going on? Absolutely not. Don't you know that God wouldn't allow mama to look down on some of these funerals? It would break mama's heart to see how their kids acting up over a house. So mama don't know anything about it. It's for you. Now, if you want it elaborate, be honest. It's for you. You want it to be elaborate for you. It's not for mama. Mama is absent. Dad is absent. Baby brother is absent. Little sister is absent. Now you see how folk falling out because they don't know the word. Even poverty, we say, I know mama really feel good about that funeral. No, she don't. She don't feel good about it. She didn't show up. Number three, the physical body is produced by men, parents, but that glorified body is created by God. Number four, some bodies are built better, more durable, more comfortable than other bodies. But thank God no one will receive an inferior glorified body. Number five, physical bodies can be destroyed, vandalized, and demolished. Sometimes physical bodies are vandalized by sickness and accidents and neglect and abuse and catastrophes and tragedies. But when the physical body is destroyed, what do you ask? You still ask the same question. Whether it was sickness, whether it was disease, whether it's tragedy, you ask the same question. Did mama get out? Did the person get out alive? That's what you should be thinking about. Did the person get out? Did the person get out? Now, that will help you with a lot of our questions, because a lot of times we think, oh, my God, did he, she suffer? Suffered, the person suffered. They were in a fire. Did they suffer? Blown up in a war. Did they suffer? I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's no suffering for the believer. In fact, I don't believe anybody really suffered, because your body hits shock. And the Bible said to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Listen, you ain't got time to suffer. Your spirit is not leaving your body. A process. No. Remember, watch this. Remember in Acts, in Luke chapter 8, when Jesus called that little girl back, he said, daughter, I say unto you, arise. And the moment he said, her spirit came back. Listen, at death, the spirit goes immediate. There's no time in, but immediate. The moment death, immediate. Wow. A moment, a second. Amen. And many times we're thinking that the person suffered, they ain't have time. Amen. The mercy of God. It's the mercy of God. Physical bodies age, number six, and wear out. You know, when I was in high school, you may not believe this, but when I was in high school and in college, I could dunk a basketball either with one hand or both hands. Shoot. You ask me to dunk a basketball right now? I say, you crazy. I was around 6 feet tall when I was in college. I went to the doctor. They measured me. They said, 5'9", barely 10. barely 5'10". The body, it deteriorates. The outward man perish. Number 7, the physical body can be vacated. Some believers just choose to move. Philippians 1, 21 through 24, Paul says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul says, I'm in a dilemma. He said, I want to depart to be with Christ, because to be with Christ would be far better for me. But if I stay in this body, it will be better for you. He said, I don't know which one I'm going to choose. Which one will I choose? See, a person can choose to move. He said, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay around. Because you need me. Sometimes people just choose to move. But a vacated body looks different than a body lived in. You ever seen a house and you knew it was vacant?
Yep. Yep.
You know, when nobody living there, you could tell it's vacant.
Right,
right?
Right.
That's why sometimes when you walk up and look at the casket, your loved one don't look like themselves. Because they ain't there. It's your spirit that gives life to your body. So when you walk up to the casket, it doesn't look like your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your child, whoever it is. It just means they're not there. They left. They left. Now here's the beauty, and I'll close with this. Here's the beauty. One day God gonna raise up that body. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 says, I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so those that sleep in Jesus, watch this, will God bring with him.
Yes,
the very fact that God gonna bring them back with him, that's at the rapture of the church, implies that they're already with him. Then it says, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, it couldn't be the saint that went to heaven. It had to, if the saint can't be coming back with the Lord and rising from the grave. That means the body went to the grave and the saint went to heaven. And God is, I don't know how he's going to do it, whether they were burned up, blowed up, lost at sea. He's going to take the elements,
yes, sir,
and reconstruct all the elements, reconstitute all the elements, restore all the elements, yes, of that person, and then he's going to raise them up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it's going to be a body just like the original body. You say, how you know that? Because when Jesus was raised up and he's the first fruit, he said, look at my hands, look at my feet, look at my side. His body still has some marks in it.
Yes, sir.
It was a recognizable body.
Yes,
but there was something different about that body. That body was not limited by time or space. He could walk through doors. He could be in heaven 1 minute, over here 1 minute. That body never got tired, never get sick, never get old, never decay. It was a whole different body. And he gonna raise your loved one body up. And that glorified body gonna reconnect to the spirit and soul. And then you gonna be fit for the new heaven and the new earth. And now the spirit will be glorified, the soul will be glorified, and the body, all in perfect alignment to live throughout eternity in the new heaven and the new earth.
Hallelujah.
Come on, say, moved out,
moved out
the old house,
old house,
and just waiting,
just
for a new house to be built. what I'm believing for, I'm believing that the Spirit of God is going to take what we're saying. And when you find yourself in that situation, in the family seat, the Holy Spirit going to bring it back to your memory. And you're going to respond spiritually. No, you'll cry, but you're going to respond spiritually. And watch this then. The Holy Spirit is going to confirm the word with signs following. Because the Spirit of God does not confirm our emotions. He confirms the word. So when we make the choice to respond on the word, the Holy Ghost is there to back it and to usher in to peace and joy. And then you end up walking in a realm that your family members don't understand. Watch this, watch this. But then the Bible said, take the comfort that you have and comfort them. Amen. Will you stand, please?